Mo, come here, buddy. You're going to be in the movies.
And the person interviewing me wrote those words down, looked up from his piece of paper and said to me, "So do you think we're going to like that?"
Yeah, I do what I do today, Kathy, because of a fourth grade field trip.
No credit to me, just me fumbling along with what I knew at the time and the dog being very forgiving of my mistakes.
So, in case you're new to the podcast, or to me, newsflash, I'm a dog person. So much so that I've actually taken it to a professional level. I've pulled the ripcord on a multi-decade career in Silicon Valley, and I turned a hobbyist pursuit into a job, canine behavioral study. So some folks might call me a dog trainer. That's not entirely inaccurate, but it's also not fully accurate either. Can I teach your dog to sit? Come when called? Quit running out the front door, jumping on people? Yeah, sure. But that's not where I start with my clients. First, we're gonna have a good long chat about your end of the leash. No blame or shame, it's not like you're messing up your dog, but awareness, accountability. Because the truth is, my friends, the dogs already know what to do. We just complicate things. A lot. So the other day, a friend of mine who's been listening to the podcast suggested, before diving further into these amazing conversations with remarkable people like we've been doing for the last couple months, and by the way, if you're not subscribed, do yourself a favor. Just catch up on the library and snack on the goodness. But anyway, she suggested that it might be worth a meander through my why, through the deeper context of dog-human relations, because the lessons that land in my work with my clients around their dogs result in transforming my human clients' communication with other humans. It's a square hit for what Talk Unleashed is all about. So for those of you who have dogs in your life, you're going to get some takeaways that may actually resolve some of those problems you've been having. So go ahead. Grab some kibble. And maybe a bully stick. I'm Kathy Brooks, and this is Talk Unleashed. So, as those of you who have been with me on the journey for the last couple of months know, I've been on something of a walkabout, spending some time in Northern California and really getting a chance to reconnect with some folks I haven't seen in a ridiculously long time, kind of track people online. You know how people are doing. So I reached out to this one friend of mine and we set up to meet for coffee in downtown Mill Valley. Mill Valley is this delightful hamlet kind of tucked into the foothills of Mount Tamalpais and the Marin, kind of North Marin area, just north of the Golden Gate Bridge, kind of tucked in at the base of the mountain. And there's a cute little downtown with a little depot that used to be a train station and coffee shops and all sorts of wonderful stuff. So I'm meeting my friend Pierre at this place called Equator Coffee. It's right on the corner of the square. And as I cross over from my car, I see my friend Pierre sitting there. Now, we have not seen each other in person in, God, probably about 15 years. And he looks great. And it's just, he has this smile that lights up a room. He's this big energy, positive energy guy, always has been. And I am just thrilled to see him. So he comes out from, he was kind of tucked in at a seat outside and he came around this bench where some people were sitting. And there was a fellow there with a dog and a woman there with a dog, unattached to each other. And I kind of noted the energy of the people and of the dog. And Pierre and I give each other a really big squishy hug, the kind of hug that you see in airports and people who haven't seen each other in a really long time. And I'm noticing as the small shih tzu that's with the guy that's at the end, one end of the bench is starting to take a really, really dominant body posture. Now, this dog, for sake of kind of perspective of size, we're talking about a dog that's roughly the size of an NFL football, but, you know, more oblong than football shaped, of course, and furry with a little flat face. Super, super cute dog, but taking this big bushy posture and kind of scraping its feet on the sidewalk. Now, I have my dogs with me. All three of them are on my left side, kind of gathered next to me. But this dog is in this very, very agitated state. And it's, you know, kind of harumphing and snuffling and, you know, scraping its feet on the sidewalk and trying to make itself look very big. My dog's not paying any attention to it. The guy, who I notice out of the corner of my eye, has kind of his shoulders are kind of bent forward. He's kind of not really hunched over his coffee, but definitely kind of collapsed over his coffee. And it just looks like he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders. And he sees, you know, me with my dogs, and he doesn't even move his head, but he just shoots his eyes up and over at me. It just, the feel of it, it was like he had kind of like smacked me in the head, and he just looked really unhappy. And I glanced down at the dog, and the guy's not even paying attention. Now, meanwhile, the woman who's about 3 feet over to the right with a larger kind of doodly sort of dog that was tucked under the bench, that dog sees the little dog getting agitated, and it starts getting agitated. Now, keep in mind, this is happening in just split seconds as we're standing there. But the big dog gets agitated by the little dog and then starts coming out from the table, kind of dashes out from under the table. And all of a sudden, my dogs start getting agitated. Now, a minute prior, they hadn't been agitated at all. They had just been kind of sitting there, minding their own business, you know, getting all comfortable. And all of a sudden, there's agitation and they start getting agitated. Now, the difference is I was aware of my dog, so I kind of slipped out of my hug from Pierre and kind of slipped in between my dog and the other dogs and gave them just a little tiny tug on the leash to let them know I was there. And they settled right down. So we kind of go around the corner and we kind of sit in our little area. We get nice and comfortable. And I start explaining to my friend Pierre about what I was seeing, that, you know, you have these two humans, and the woman with the big doodle dog, she was, she also just seemed to have this heavy weight. You know, she wasn't sure whether to give a dirty look to my dogs, a dirty look to his dogs. And I started explaining to Pierre that, you know, I was looking at these people and getting a direct reflection of their own internal state by what I was seeing on their end of the leash. That the experience that these dogs were having in the world was a direct and immediate correlation to the humans. Now, when I'm working with my clients, one of the things that I start to explain to them about the leash, you know, this tether that connects us with our dogs when we go out in the world, to think of it like a fiber optic cable, to think of it as a communication channel. Literally, the energy that I'm holding on one end of the leash is directly translated to the other end of the leash. Now, for people who work with horses or ride horses, this will have some familiarity that you learn when you're riding a horse, that how you hold those reins in your hand, how you take the lead rope, sends a direct signal to the horse of the energy. Are you a friend or foe? Are you a leader or a follower? Or am I with you or not? Do you have an energy that I'm going to work with? And so when we're out in the world with our dogs, that we have this line that literally connects us to their energy, and that we are simultaneously sending them a signal of how we are expecting them to be in the world based on how we're doing. It's like when you see somebody and they've got their hand kind of stuffed through the handle of the leash, and the leash is wrapped around their hand like they're preparing to be released in the bull ring, like a rodeo rider who's like strapping into the steer before they open the door and kind of let them get bucked into the ring. And, you know, having that presence, having that awareness is something that, until I started working with people and their dogs, it was a newsflash to me that was new information for people. And so I started really spending a lot of time literally working with people just on holding the leash, even without a dog on the other end. You know, grab the leash like you're angry. Grab the leash like you're afraid. Grab the leash like you're excited. And seeing the different kind of mechanisms and the results that were happening on the other end, it was really interesting. And so as I'm sitting there with my friend Pierre, and he's fascinated by this, we see this couple coming across the street with a beautiful black and white Shetland sheepdog, little Sheltie. And the dog seemed a little bit shy, but my dogs were very, very relaxed and even balanced, and the dog came right in. And the woman was marveling that her dog was so relaxed, because typically, and this is not atypical of Shelties, they tend to be a little bit more tightly wound. They have a bit more heightened sensitivity to their environment, and their dog was really relaxed. And so we started talking about energy and what that was like. And this couple was just delightful. And, you know, we talked back and forth, and then they went into their conversation, and then Pierre and I would start talking again, and they would start talking, and we would engage, and we would talk about dogs and talk about energy. It was a delightful conversation. But seeing the difference between this couple and the gentleman and the woman that I had mentioned before, that the difference, and it was noticeable to Pierre right away, that when you saw the difference between the people that were holding the leash and how they were engaging with the environment around them, there was a direct correlation to what was happening on the other end of the leash. Those first two people were physically closed off in their body language. They were clearly very distracted. Now, to be clear, I'm not saying these were bad people or angry people or there's anything wrong with them, but there was clearly something agitated in their energy. There was clearly something that was off, that was being translated directly to the dogs. Really, really interesting. And so my friend Pierre leaves after a while, and I had engaged in a conversation with this lovely couple, and Pierre had another meeting to go to, so he takes off, and I'm sitting there and just chatting with this couple. And at one point, I kind of turned and was chatting with someone else, and I just got this feeling of warmth. That's the only way to describe it. And so I kind of glance over my shoulder over at the couple with whom I had been speaking. And I see that he has his hand on her knee, and they're just kind of gazing into each other's eyes. And it was this beautiful, completely contained moment of love. And I found myself smiling, and they looked over and they both kind of blushed a little, and I smiled. I said, I want to thank you for sharing that, because I could feel that before I even turned around. And I said, and I just kind of gestured to the two of them. I said, how long have you been together? And they look at each other and kind of giggle and say, well, it's kind of a long story. They had been sweethearts in college. They were each other's first loves. And their lives went in two separate directions. And they both got married, and they both had kids and lived, you know, lives. And they had connected on Facebook a number of years ago as friends. And they're both, you know, sharing each other's lives and watching each other's lives. And the gentleman's wife, the woman he had been married to, passed away last year after a battle with cancer. And just as friends, they were connected and talking. And over the course of talking and getting to know each other, they reconnected. And now they're back together again. And this beautiful, beautiful story and the energy between these two people and then the energy of the dog, it just all made sense. They were so aware of each other and aware of their own place and of their own energy and their interactions with others. And the result was a dog that was behaving very beautifully in a public space. So fast forward to a couple days ago, and I decide I'm going to go get a manicure. And there's a salon I've been going to in San Francisco for, oh God, probably 25 years I've been going to this place. And one of the things I always loved about it over the years would I would bring my dogs with me to you know, when I got my nails done. But I, in those days, only had one dog at a time. I had never had multiple dogs. So I walk in, and there's a woman in there with a dog already. And I come in, and there's everything's fine. And that dog leaves, and then I sit down with my three, and another dog comes in, and then another dog comes in. So now there's, you know, five dogs in the place. Wow. Yeah, there are five dogs in the place. And then two women came in, and they didn't have a dog with them, but they were very enthralled with the dogs in the space. And just incredibly interesting to see, again, the engagement of the people with each of the dogs. Now, if you're not a dog person or you're not an animal person and you're thinking, what the actual fuck does this have to do with anything, Kathy? Why are you yammering on about dogs? Here's the thing. It's about awareness. And one thing that I know to be true when you are in the world with an animal, and it could be someone who's got a kid. When you're in the world with a small child, you have to have this level of awareness as well. But there's an awareness of your surroundings that becomes really important to have in order to be a steward of that small creature's experience of the world. And being a responsible steward and aware and vigilant without being hypersensitive, hypervigilant on the one end, or without being disconnected and detached on the other end, is a really interesting balance. Because let's face it, we've got bad days, we have rough phone calls, we've got client calls, we say, oh, I'm going to walk the dog, but I'm going to do a client call while I'm walking the dog, so I'm distracted, I'm not really paying attention, or I get off of a meeting, a Zoom meeting, or I leave a meeting and I'm agitated because the meeting was long and boring and people kept talking in circles and things didn't get done. And why aren't these people listening and people not hitting deadlines? And I kind of storm out to clear my head and grab the dog and throw it on a leash and rah, rah, rah. And it ends up not being particularly relaxing. And it's because it's a completely self-serving lack of awareness sort of thing, that when I become the steward of another creature's experience in the world, that I get to put that creature's experience first. You know, I'll take it to a little bit more of a relevant space related to dogs, and that would be the dog park, right? So another thing I've been doing in the last couple of months, a lot more than usual, is going to dog parks, public dog parks, and ask any dog training, dog behavior professional, and they will tell you, stay away from public dog parks. They're awful for a zillion different reasons. First and foremost, they're a petri dish of all kinds of contagion in many places, you know, whether it's Giardia or intestinal parasites or fleas or ticks or canine influenza. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff, since a lot of people don't follow the ordinances and mind their dog's health, and they bring sick dogs to public places. So that's just one part of it. But it's also a deeply unstructured space with animals that require a level of structure and boundaries to be balanced. And when you add that to people saying, oh, well, my dog gets to kick back, so do I. My dog gets to socialize, so do I. And so the dog may be running around at one end of the park, while the owner is sitting at the other end of the park on a bench or on their cell phone or talking with some people. And so you have this like socially awkward mosh pit happening. You've got, you know, dogs that have territorial behavior, dogs that maybe don't have boundaries or training, and the list goes on. Now, I'm spoiled. I built a private dog park in Las Vegas, and that's where my dogs have gotten to go for most of their lives. And up until recently, I was also living in houses with big yards, so there was a lot of that experience. So this whole nomadic thing has shifted that, because when I go out in the world, I'm going out in the world with my dogs most of the time. Now, even though I have places where my dogs can stay, you know, overall, the experience that I've chosen is I'm out and I'm going out to restaurants where I can sit outside, and I'm going on hikes, and I'm doing the kind of activities where the dogs get to come with me. And it's really interesting that very place where you would think that my interaction with my dog gets to be a little more relaxed, a dog park, which is where they're supposed to be, I actually have to be even more hypervigilant than I do sitting at a cafe. Because in the cafe, I'm mostly just dealing with people, which can be challenging enough. But in the dog park, I have both of those equations, because the leash has been released. You know, When we were in the dog park today, I was working with a training client, actually, and we were way down at one end of the park, all the way away from the other dogs so that we could get some work done. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere behind us, someone comes marching right through the space with their dog. Now, our dogs are all friendly, but they did all get startled, so they barked because that happened. And then she chose to kind of activate her dog in doing some work with her dog, literally within leash length of us. Now, was she doing it maliciously? No. No. Clearly, she was really just focused on her dog. But in that doing, set up a situation where her dog began to get agitated because, again, the other dogs were agitated. You know, we've spent the last several years undermining any semblance of social structure that we maybe even ever had as a society. You know, for the better part of 2 years, we didn't leave our houses, barely. Social skills. I mean, I don't know if you guys had this experience, but I remember very clearly the first face-to-face lunch that I had with someone when the pandemic shutdown began to loosen. And I was sitting directly across from a human being in real life and found myself stammering and trying to find words. Not exactly a weak spot for me, talking. And yet this proximity, this being across from someone, had become unfamiliar, because even though Zoom and these other platforms are magical and miraculous and amazing, and thank God they exist, even though all of those things are true, they're not the same as that live contact. And I don't know about you, but I got comfortable. I got comfortable with the ability in a meeting to say, hey, I'll be right back, guys, and turn my camera off and maybe not even leave, but just kind of do something else or be distracted in a meeting because I'm listening in on the meeting, but I'm not really paying attention, you know, or being on camera, but I have other windows open. So even though I'm looking at the camera, I'm really looking at another document and not really present in the meeting at all. I've actually gotten really mindful about that. When I'm in a Zoom meeting now, I close everything except that Zoom window, unless there maybe is a document or something that I need to have open to share or I'm taking notes. But even then, I'm often taking notes by hand so that I can really keep myself focused, maintain my awareness, my presence. Because when I step out of my house and I step into the world, it's not just about me. It's not just about how I'm feeling or what I'm doing or where I'm going. It's about all the people around me too. And if there's one thing that's really landed for me in the last couple of years, specifically around this idea that when I'm out in the world, I feel this desire to connect with other people, to ask them how they're doing, who are they, how are they, what's going on in their world. And the conversations I've been getting to have just been utterly transformative. I can still feel that glow of joy from Leslie and John. I can still see the smile on their faces when they looked at each other. I was driving back up to the house after that coffee, and the roads in Mill Valley and Marin, they're very narrow and kind of windy, and you get to some points where you may be coming up the street and there are cars coming down, and you kind of pull over to let folks by. I was coming up the hill. There was a woman coming down, and so I pulled over to wave her by, and there was another car right behind her. So I just kind of stuck my hand out the window and started waving her by. And she stuck her head out the window, and she goes, "No, you come on up." And I drove by and I rolled down my window to thank her. And she looked at me and she smiled and she says, "You get to have your turn too." Awareness. Just paying attention. And if I can do that with myself and just open myself up to the possibility that maybe, just maybe, there's some people around me who are looking for that kind of connection too. You know, the next time if I see that guy with a Shih Tzu again, I may just offer to give him a hug. Because I don't know if he was having a bad moment, a bad morning, a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, or whether that's just the weight of the world on his shoulders as his natural state of being. But what I could see in that 12-pound dog at the other end of the leash was that there was a person attached to that leash who really just needed to be seen. Thanks for stopping by. If it's your first time, glad you joined us. If you've been here before and you're back for more, splendid. Glad to have you. Either way, make sure you don't miss out on any of the great conversations we have coming up on Talk Unleashed.
or the ones we've already had for that matter. Hit up your favorite podcast player and subscribe. While you're at it, leave a review. It helps other folks find the show. Because it takes a village. Speaking of which, Talk Unleashed happens because there is a village. John and Dawn McLean, Evelyn Coda, and the amazing team at Monster Sound and Picture. Thanks, guys. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. I look forward to having you back next week for another episode of Talk Unleashed.